Hello and welcome to tonight's edition of the K-Mud Public Affairs. My name is Lauren Schmidt and I'll be your host. Tonight we highlight the Decolonizing Economic Summit, Earth Day to May Day, the fifth annual post-capitalism conference, with in-person events taking place April 20th and 21st, and an online virtual summit May 1st through the 3rd. This year's summit is brought to you by the Wiat Tribes Community Land Trust, Cal Poly Humboldt faculty members, Free Speech TV, Cooperation Jackson, Democracy at Work, the Green Eco-Socialist Network, Native Roots Network, and others, who have organized to create this conference that serves as a powerful space to exchange experiences and information and strengthens alliances and networks to devise strategy and implement concrete solutions to heal the land and the people. And we spoke with its organizers.
My name is Moxie Alvarez. My pronouns are they, them. I'm an Indigenous Native Hawaiian, queer, trans, environmental sociologist that sort of abandoned the academy and have just sort of turned my life more towards activism. Currently, I work at the North Coast Environmental Center, which is one of the longest standing environmental orgs, the longest standing environmental org in the area, specifically in the region, depending on who you ask, although everybody wants to claim that. And that's totally fun that we have such a rich history, which this event is also about. So the NEC says that our birthday is Earth Day. And Tony and I go way back to my undergrad days and was a really key mentor to bring me into the environmental movement. So we've just been working like with Tony, who's been part of the Decolonizing Economic Summit for multiple years. And it was just, you know, one of those beautiful things that when you have relationships within a community, within activists and intellectual and artistic spheres, that people can then link up and make events like more creative and new. And so what I really do is I help connect the event to activists with skills that they would want to share with the community. And I also just get to hang out with my wonderful colleagues and Tony as we like think about what would make the funnest Earth Day event for our community.
Thanks, Mox. They're awesome and they inspire me to do the work that I do. So back at you there. My name's Tony Silvaggio. I am my paid job is I'm a professor of sociology at Cal Poly Humboldt. I'm also an environmental organizer, labor organizer. I'm the vice president of the California Faculty Association. I've, you know, been in this community since the 90s during the timber wars. And I've been involved in this effort since its inception 5 years ago when we actually did the Decolonize Economic Summit live in person prior to COVID. And I'm super happy to be working with this group of folks. And I really, I mean, I fundamentally believe this effort, you know, we're really trying to connect the economic, the social, the environmental justice movements and those connections and how they intersect. And, you know, these things that we're putting on the summit and Earth Day event is really a way for us to build a stronger community, centering Indigenous wisdom, their perspectives and knowledges. And it's really, you know, an attempt to bring together people who are radically reimagining or imagining and co-creating, right? This transformative world. And so the events that we're hosting with the summit, which we'll talk about, and the Earth Day event are really our efforts to do this. And I think we're all really honored to be part of these gatherings. And it's super, super awesome. This is our fifth year doing the summit. And this is a really, really important time.
I'm Caroline Griffith. I'm the executive director of the North Coast Environmental Center. I am honored to also be the editor of Eco News, which I feel is really shaping up to be one of the finer environmental justice news outlets that we have. And as Moxie said, we think of Earth Day as like our conceptual birthday. You know, this was something that kind of formed our organization and the movement around it. So we're really looking forward to participating in a celebration. I think that there's a whole lot of, you know, like emphasis on like Earth Day is this day that go out and really think about how how your actions and how industry and how our whole society impacts the environment. But I think it's also really important to just have a good time and connect with people too. And I think that, you know, we spend so much time thinking about all the intensity of how humans are impacting the world. So it's really nice to have a day where we get to get together with people who are our allies, who think like us, and maybe even if they don't come from the same environmental background. I think that, you know, what Tony's talking about too, just recognizing all these intersections of economics and race and gender and how all of these things are part and parcel of systems of oppression that are also impacting the environment. And to bring folks together who are working on all of these things so that we can talk and enjoy and share our skills, as Moxie was saying. It's really exciting to be a part of that. And then also to kind of help generate that momentum moving into the Decolonizing Economic Summit too, and really think about how that, I mean, when we look at how our environment is being impacted and where those impacts are coming from, so much of it is related to economics. So these two things are very, very linked.
This event is called the Decolonizing Economic Summit. I'm hoping you can explain to our listeners what decolonization means, what decolonizing economic means, and how it all ties into an Earth Day celebration.
Well, I'll start off here and give you my response to this. Decolonizing and decolonizing economics specifically is really, it's an explicit challenge to our movements, to ourselves, and to folks that are going to participate in this event to really, I guess, first of all, you know, center Indigenous wisdom, center Indigenous perspectives and knowledges. It's not a metaphor, right? It's really a path towards social justice, political justice, economic justice, and for transforming these institutions. So this call for decolonization and decolonized economics really, you know, it acknowledges that if we're going to build a movement for reparative justice, for a future, we really need to understand the extent to which colonialism is really shaped and continues to shape our modern world and every part of it, the economy, our views towards the environment, our views towards other peoples, right? So, you know, for me, you know, the summit really is this attempt to demonstrate, right, an analysis and then some real solutions to try to heal the people, to heal the land, and you know, through education, for one, right? To educate folks about this economic system and, you know, the problems that we know arise from putting profits over people, right? And really the ways, and this is the plugging folks in, about working towards economic, social, environmental justice. So it's really creating the infrastructure and the practices to really address some of the challenges we have here.
All of that makes me think, and your question really, when I hear that, Lauren, I think about some of the work that we have been doing and hope to continue doing within our movements as well, you know, so like decolonization is looking at how these systems go from the macrocosm, right? We can look at colonization and how we continue, you know, we as the United States are still going into other countries in order to extract resources to get the things that we need, right? We are spreading that out in a colonial manner, but also how that works within our organizations, how that happens within our institutions, how that happens within ourselves, that we're really swimming in these ideas of who gets to have a say, who has power, how all these hierarchies work. So I think that in addition to all the things that Tony said, it also, you know, we have to be looking at all the ways that we interact with each other and within our movements and organizations, how we interact with the world around us, and really break down all those systems that we have been indoctrinated in, which is a huge challenge, right? And that's why, you know, Tony says, you know, when you talk about imagination, we have to imagine, and we're lucky that there are really good examples. So we have all that Indigenous wisdom. There are folks around here who can kind of show us some of these ways, but then we have to do the hard work of breaking that down within ourselves and the world around us.
Yeah, decolonization means I get my land back. Simply put, the thing about colonization is that it's not just something that has really devastated Indigenous peoples like myself. It is something that across the United States and worldwide, we are wrapped up now in this economic monster of a global system that is just ravaging all type of life, plant, animal, human, non-human relatives, air, water, soil, everything is being wrapped up and consumed by this machine. And to me, decolonization is more than just setting up a plaque somewhere that says, whoops, sorry about all of that. It's about stopping considering the way we're doing things. And that includes the government, that includes the economy, that includes focusing on growing energy consumption in perpetuity. Stopping that, saying, let's stop, let's end this project and move forward in a variety of ways that are biocentric, that are place-based, that connect people to themselves, to the people and life around them. And the fact of the matter is it's not, it sounds kind of utopic to people, but the fact is people do it every single day without the mediating forces of the government or capitalism or Facebook, and that it's really about inhabiting the territory in which you live and being connected to the ways people have survived there. And it's a deeply necessary thing to do for any of us to survive on this planet. It is the actual emergency, is that we need to be willing to stop this situation as well as continuing to employ things that are working, such as like really interconnected worldviews of how to care for the planet, how to participate in cultural burns, how to participate in language and visions that have existed for so long and can include everyone. So I say give the land back because yeah, I'd love my sacred sites back. And it's not a vision that says there's no place for anyone who isn't native. It is a multiplicity of visions that can only exist when we get rid of the United States and the other colonizing governmental entities. And to me, that is of course wrapped up in economics because that is the sort of profit motive stranglehold that sort of keeps the machine churning.
There's a lot to discuss there, and I know that conversation will continue during the online virtual summit, which I'm hoping you can share more details about. Again, the virtual summit, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, as well as the two in-person events that are slated for this weekend.
We have two events, two in-person events at the Decolonize Economics Summit. The first is on 4/20, and that is going to be at Wiat Cultural Center in Eureka. That's April 20th, and that's going to be followed by the kickoff event for the 5th annual Post-Capitalism Decolonized Economic Summit, and that's going to be at Pearson Park starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday, April 21st. Goes from 1 to 7. And that's going to be the in-person event. It is a family-friendly event. It's going to have food, music, tabling with environmental organizations, labor organizations, and indigenous groups. They're going to be tabling the event. There's going to be a kid zone like it was last year with a bouncy house, face painting, jugglers. We're really centering the organizing community this year, and we have activist trainings and skill shares, and we'll have folks talk a little bit about those. And that's going to be also emceed by Good Shield, and Seventh Generation Rise will be playing at the event, as well as Zira Starchild, Daryl Cherney, and then we have other musicians lined up for the event, which is we had over 300 people there last year. It was an awesome event at Pearson Park, and we expect more this year on Earth Day.
Last year, there were a lot of like tables and sort of like informational things of like different nonprofits who work in the area, and that will still be present. But we had a lot of really great feedback, especially from like activists as well as other community members who were really like searching for like more interaction. So we're going to be really like emphasizing skills that people might find useful in a variety of experiences of defending the earth. And so some of it's banner making. We're hoping to have art, puppeteering, puppet making. Our area has a really rich history of protest art being part of movement. We're going to have a tripod workshop, which is, for those who aren't familiar, building tripods are, they're a type of construction that forest defenders will often use to sort of protect zones. They're also often considered a great symbol of defense. So even when they're present, they're considered a symbol of like what it means to actively resist. We're also going to have a Know Your Rights training by Lauren Regan of the CLDC. We're actually full of really practical, pragmatic skills this year, as well as fun activities. So we have a wide variety of activities, but the idea is to give people the skills and knowledge they need to do what they think is right to protect the earth. So it's not just something that needs to be controlled by nonprofits or academics who, pontificate or talk about these things, but it's also about anybody who has a say in this earth is anybody who is living on this earth. So here are the skills, here's the knowledge, here's a platform. Let's have some fun.
Well, I think that what's really like compelling about that too is not just the let's have some fun thing, but the idea that like there are many, many ways to engage in this work, and there are many people, many different types of expertise as well, right? Like we often like look at, oh, you are an expert in this thing. And I think it happens a lot in the nonprofit industrial complex too, that like, oh, we are the experts, we dispense the knowledge, when in fact there are so many people with so many various knowledges that are all super important to this work. And I think also important to that, like breaking down the hierarchies and a kind of going back to decolonizing, right? Like that recognition that there's not just like one way to do this work and one definition of an expert. And so to have all these people coming to share their skills about how they interact with this and to also have a good time is really powerful. And we will also have some bike maintenance skill shares as well from some of our friends. And we, the NEC, along with our friends from MoonCycles and the Coalition for Responsible Transportation Priorities, are going to be hosting a ride from Arcata up to the celebration. And we'll be meeting at noon at MoonCycles, which is on Alliance Road in Arcata, to take a leisurely ride through the bottoms, to do some casual birding, to share various knowledges about the plants and the zones that we're riding through, to get in the proper frame of mind to celebrate Earth Day with all the folks up at the park.
I want to remind our listeners you have attuned to KMUD. We are discussing the 2024 Decolonizing Economic Summit, Earth Day to May Day, with its organizers, Moxie Alvarez, Tony Salvaggio, and Caroline Griffith. Tony, you highlighted the upcoming in-person events that takes place April 20th at the Wiat Tribes Cultural Center in Eureka. That's from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And the Earth Day Festival that takes place at Pearson Park in McKinleyville. That event is from 1 to 7 p.m. But moving to the online portion, the Decolonizing Economic Summit takes place May 1st through the 3rd. Can you share an overview?
Yeah, we have 15 sessions over 3 days, starting May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. There are 5 panels a day, and it runs from 9 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock. There's no competing panels. This is our 5th year, so we've got this dialed in. I think some topics. There's 15 panels. They range from this, the question you raised earlier, Lauren, like what do we mean by decolonization? Native Roots Network and others are going to be on that panel to talk a little bit about that. We have a panel on making land back real. And Michelle Vassil from the Wiat Tribe is going to be one of the panelists there. We have People's Network for Land and Liberation. This is a strategic program. And we have Kali Okuno, Edgett Batrue, and others who are really focusing on that question of land and liberation. We got traditional ecological knowledge, decolonizing restoration. We have Food Sovereignty Lab. Gonna have a panel in conjunction with the Native American Studies program here at Cal Poly. We also have and Mox, they talked a little bit about Lauren Regan coming down from the CLDC. They're gonna have a session, Activism in the Face of Fascism, and others. The CFA, the California Faculty Association, my union, is also sponsoring a session linking the environmental movement and the labor movement. So there's lots of panels. I want to encourage folks to jump on the website and take a look at those and register and yeah.
Looking at The schedule of sessions topics include making land back real, the role of media in decolonization, democratizing the economy, art and activism. And we see speakers from the Wiat tribe, the Hoopa tribe, and other local tribes and North Coast activists, as well as nationally renowned speakers. But I think this really highlights the key role the North Coast plays in the environment and the decolonization movement. Can you speak to why that is?
We definitely have a history here of that, right? You can look back at a lot of the avant-garde, you know, the people who are really like making great strides in that. And I think that we right now still have a really great responsibility for that. We have a bunch of huge changes being proposed for this area right now with port development, with offshore wind, with all of these things. And so I think that now more than ever, we need to be really looking at how do we exist differently? You know, how do we live our lives on this planet differently? Because it requires more than just one little shift. We can't just change where our energy comes from if we are continuing to grind in this exact same wheel of endless growth and colonization. So we are still poised to be at the forefront of a lot of this as these things are happening in our communities. We have such a rich history here too, that it is amazing to be able to look back at that. And I don't know, maybe there's just like something in the water.
I would say we have multiple things going for us. Primarily, we have a very large like indigenous population who are in place in their traditional homelands, in their like seats of like power and ancestral memory, really connected to culture and language and continuing to do that work and have been since time immemorial. But people being in place in their land is just a fundamentally like powerful situation for Native Hawaiians. Like, we're a massive diasporic population, and it has historically been really difficult to sort of return when, you know, it's Hawaii lands millions of dollars and then the military is all over it. So when you have people who are able to be taken care of and being in relationship to the earth and their relatives, like in the way that they have always done, you're going to retain a political, you know, or politicizing like powerful base. And so we've had that. The other thing that is going for us is that there are like, for example, like settlers who are drawn to the area who have a particular like philosophical relationship to the earth. We have the rich history of like back to the land. We have a rich history of environmental defense of Redwood Summer. And while these sort of movements, of course, like have their sort of like settler and like often colonial or sort of like maybe appropriative roots, that doesn't mean that they're fully without value. And I think it has actually led to an incredibly sympathetic ecological perspective and a perspective that can then have an appreciation for like actual traditional ecological knowledges and in a sort of expansive sense of like, how do we have like a world with all of us now that we're here in this situation. And so those are two things to do with humans, as well as like sort of like this sort of like anthropocentric sort of like vantage point. That being said, I also do have a fundamental personal sort of like philosophical and like semi like spiritual belief that the earth itself, especially in a place that has some of the most intact bioregions in the area, is moving us, both like in the ways that like I as an indigenous person am moved by the land that I am from, like that land is agentic and exerts a force upon me, compelling me to protect it, to practice my ecological life ways as they have always been. I also believe that the earth speaks through a variety of peoples, as well as like other components such as like animals and plants, to sort of like reclaim space of speaking through like fire in its like relationship to traditional like practices like here, that the earth itself compels us in this particular way. And so I think that we do have this sort of spiritual, philosophical, and political ecology that lends itself to visions of other possibilities. We already have a place that doesn't look quite like a lot of other places that have been ravaged by colonization. And I think that there's more to it than just that we're kind of freaky out here. But I think that helps. I think being a little freaky helps. And I think that those three things really put us in a social and like psychic space of being willing to try something different.
And I want to add a couple things to what Mox is pointing out here. The indigenous folks here, there's a long history of resistance. And one of the first examples of land back here, Dulawat Island, right? And so that's a long, decades-long struggle. You have Sumeg, I know it's by name, it's not given back, but you have these attempts locally. You got the Go Road resistance that goes back into the 80s, which, you know, I'm trying to understand, you know, what's going on here. We have a long history of indigenous resistance and organizing on the North Coast. And a lot of them are the models, right, we're looking at for the land back approach here.
Can you share your final thoughts reflecting on the 2024 Decolonizing Economic Summit, Earth Day to May Day?
All that I would say is that if you have not been to any of the previous Decolonizing Economic Summit workshops, that I highly recommend. These are spaces where intelligent people who have been doing the work come to share those ideas, and it is incredibly inspiring. We have a lot of work ahead of us to shift the things that are happening in our world. And just to be able to be in that space and hear those things, I've found it to be incredibly inspiring. And to be able to imagine our way out of this mess, because I will admit, even though I talk about that very often and our need to imagine what we are heading towards and imagine better futures, it can be really difficult when you look around and see what it is that we have. And so to have this space where people are really thinking about how we can move forward in a more ecocentric, decolonized, and enjoyable way of living is really inspiring. And it would be great to see folks at the kickoff at Pearson Park, where we will also just be enjoying one another and thinking about how we come together and do this work together.
Carolyn, I want to echo that, and really, this is, come on out. It's really a great attempt to put together a movement that's based on cooperation rather than exploitation, one that prioritized the welfare of people and the planet over profits. And it is going to be a great opportunity to really come together as a community and, you know, learn and also strengthen the links between each other and groups and organizations that are working on solving these crises, and then next steps, right? It's like, what are we going to do about it? And so come on out. It's going to be great. All of these events, the kickoff at the Cultural Center, the Earth Day event at Pearson Park, and then the summit.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would really add to that is that if you are feeling really trapped in this like horrible train wreck of a system and the weight of climate change is bearing down upon you and the hellscape is closing in, we will have something for you at this event. Whether that is something that you're interested in sort of reform and nonprofits and sort of going through like a sort of like policy perspective, or if you're wanting to feel a little more agentic and learn some skills that might be of value to you and meet some people who are doing really cool, more confrontational or direct activities, or if you're needing a place to just decompress and have some laughs and do some art with people who are like-minded, we will have something for you. So you should come out and hang out with us. Free event.
Again, we've been speaking with Moxie Alvarez, Tony Silvaggio, and Caroline Griffith, organizers of the Decolonizing Economic Summit, Earth Day to May Day, the 5th annual post-capitalism conference. The summit begins with two in-person events starting on Saturday, April 20th at the Wiat Cultural Center in Eureka, and on April 21st at Pearson Park in McKinleyville. The online summit begins May 1st and goes until May 3rd. You can learn more about all of these events at decolonizingeconomicssummit.org. In addition, KMUD will be broadcasting portions of the virtual summit right here on People Powered Radio. Again, for Public Affairs, I've been your host, Lauren Schmidt. Stay tuned for the local news.